Heavenly Father, we come before you so thankful for sisters in the Lord. We thank you for friendships. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you and to study this book together. And Father, we pray that you would continue to impact our hearts with this so that we can grow and be able to share with younger women is the goal for this study, to give us resources, give us your word, give us accountability with other women to be able to move forward and help the younger moms as you have charged us in Titus 2. So I thank you for the opening discussion, and we pray, Father, that this time would honor you and that you would get all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, glad you're all here. I don't know exactly where to start here now, but I guess we could just start by brief announcements, brief announcements. Pray for Abide Camp. I think it's going on
next week. They leave Sunday.
I'm not sure. Abide, and then Ecclesia is in October, so registration is open for that. It's a 3-day conference, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, open to our church and now open to other churches, so there's only limited space. You have to sign up now. And the other thing is save the date for September 10th as a Saturday. It's the women's luncheon. And I guess I can say our guest speaker is going to be Meg Smith. And she's going to be speaking about suffering. And I think that'll be really exciting. So,
and then again, in October, we get suffering.
Yeah. You know what the hell for us, ladies.
Really topic right now. Yeah.
Skip,
I don't want more something.
That's it. I'm not coming. Yeah. I have enough.
You can help us.
You can teach it alongside of Meg.
Yeah. All right. Any questions? Any other questions? Any concerns?
I guess pray for my sister. She and her husband are, well, today would be the funeral. Jim's cousin passed away. She's fairly young, I think, in her 50s, cancer. So they had to fly out yesterday to West Virginia for the service, which is today. So just pray for them to be good witness, because there's a lot of unsaved family.
You want to write that on this card?
Sure.
Card? Okay. All right.
I was going to.
Okay.
Thank you.
So this week we have a huge chapter, at least to me it was huge, about love. And I think one of the things that is important to know that it's the wife's choice. We have to make the true choice to love and not just
exist.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a choice, and it's something that we need to work on and be diligent about. So let's look in the study guide. We're going to chapter 9, I guess, in the study guide. What page is that on, Sue?
I thought it was 10.
There's not a page number on the page.
In the
31?
31.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. There it is. I wrote over it.
31.
Okay. You have.
Yeah. I kind of wrote it.
Okay, so in the beginning of the chapter, she says there are three categories of sin that are going to put hindrances in our way to love our husbands. And it's selfishness and bitterness and fear. And that we are to choose to love our husbands. So let's first talk about the kinds of love that are exhibited in the Bible. So there's five ways. And you can just speak out one of the five ways and maybe give us a verse that goes along with that? So first one, what could that be? Or any of them?
First one was the agape love, that's a sacrificial love. John 13, 34 and 35 speaks of that. You want nothing in return. It has to do with your attitude and your action. And it's God's love toward his son and toward mankind as well. And it is, you choose to do it. Then you seek to do good to the other.
I like the last one, love as a manifestation of God's grace. God's grace is sufficient. I don't have a verse, but to give us the power to show love, and sometimes it's against our feelings. Mm-hmm. We may not feel that love, but we're supposed to still, by God's grace, show that love. That was kind of powerful to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sue, you mentioned feelings. Could that also be attitude? Could you say, compare that with an attitude?
Oh, yeah.
Because that word attitude just really rang a bell.
I think once you have the truth from the scripture embedded in you, then you will develop the right attitude. Sometimes our attitudes can be wrong, right, based on cultural things,
right,
or things that have happened to you in your life. So
yes,
we have to have the right basis for developing the attitude, because attitude can develop after you have action based on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Any other input on that?
Okay.
Well, because we can have bad attitudes.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly. Same with feelings. Like, to me, your initial reaction, a lot of times you're reacting emotionally, and that's not always almost never, at least in my experience,
yeah,
godly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have to, like, I don't know, have to stop myself and go, wait a minute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Thank you.
So we have to temper our attitudes based on scripture, too. Okay, so we have love as a manifestation of God's grace. And a verse to go with that would be 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Okay, what else?
I can't think of the verse, but I know it's in Romans about putting him above my esteeming someone more than yourself, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And Philippians 2.
Yeah, about feelings, just from being in this church and in these groups. If feelings comes into my mind, it's like a red flag. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I feel, well, you know, what does scripture say? You know, what feelings, forget that.
Well, the thing about feelings, what I've learned long ago, it's almost like when you're driving, and back in the old days when you had older cars, there would be an oil light would come on. That's an indication. So feelings are an indication something's going on. So feelings really aren't bad.
No.
It's kind of like if you look at the oil light, the guy that I had heard this from said, okay, you know, what are you going to do? Get a hammer and mash out the, you know, the oil light and keep going, right? What's going to happen? The car's going to die.
But check the feelings. Check where they're coming
exactly
from.
Exactly.
You know, is it about rights? Is it about pride?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Is it fear? Is it selfishness?
Yeah.
Is it these things that we're talking about?
Because if you're walking in the woods and there's a snake,
yeah,
feelings of fear are going to come, and that's God's given us feelings.
Just go around.
Right.
Yes.
Or back up.
Yeah.
Run the other way. But feelings are an indication something's going on. And I really, you know, I always got confused on take thoughts captive. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I do that? You know, because I'm such a visual. Do I put like a, oh, I got this feeling, or I thought it's going up? Because a lot of times the feelings are, you know, in thought first, and then boom, you have that feeling. So what I do, what I have recently discovered, every feeling, not only thought, but feeling, I start praying it. Lord, I've got this feeling. I've been in that bathroom in that front church because someone in the hallway, something might have happened. We're all, you know, we love each other, but I may be perceiving it weird and I have a weird feeling about it. I'll be in that bathroom and it's tall. saying, okay, Lord, what was that? How do you want me to respond? So, because you want, you know, as you grow older in the Lord, you want to be obedient to the Lord first. That's what's key. It's in your thoughts, words, and actions.
More like hurt feelings. When you get your feelings hurt, it's like, okay, well, what happened here? My pride, or,
What am I going to do?
And how do you, you're assuming that they meant the worst, or, you know.
Right, yeah.
And how do you,
it goes right back to what we're studying.
It
goes back to what we're studying. Okay, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Boom! Holy Spirit brings that up. Hence why at the very end, I noticed she said, did she say memorize this?
Yeah.
She did. No. So you do that. Because I'll tell you, I'll pull out just a few. I want to know it all. I want to know, how do you want me to love, Lord?
Interesting prayer closet you have there.
It's everywhere. It can be in the kitchen. It can be in the car. It can be on the bathroom stall. But no, and that's, you know, we go along life. Boom. Things happen.
And those are the kinds of things that we want to take into consideration when we're thinking about love.
Yes.
And how that happens. Not only love with our husbands, that's the most important thing, but love with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about being hurt, feeling hurt. And is that then a root of bitterness that is coming? So, you know, we're going to get to that. So, what are some of the other things? I don't want to dwell on this too long because there's plenty of other things. Philandros, tender affection that a wife has for her husband, like we are commanded to do in Titus. The one flesh love between a husband and wife is another kind of love, a physical union and emotional bond. And then loving your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treating your husband as number one and as someone special, being patient, kind, the First Corinthians love is kind passage. Okay, so I don't know if I passed them out. In your book, the verses are in there. Philippians 2, 3 to 4 on page, and this is your verse, Bobby, that you were talking about.
12:10.
Mm-hmm.
85 is in my version of the book.
You want to read it, Kelly?
Sure. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, turn the page. Somebody want to read Romans 12:10?
Love one another with brotherly affection.
Mm-hmm. Give preference to one another in honor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Undo one another in showing of honor.
Okay, so what does that really mean? Consider others more important than yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's not your own way. Love does not demand its own way.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to do something and your husband wants you to do something else. And then you say, okay.
I have to make breakfast. Make breakfast early, even though I don't eat early because Jack wants to eat.
Yeah. Well, that is giving preference to your husband.
Yep.
And that does make a big difference.
It does.
It does.
It doesn't seem like it should be a big deal, but it is.
Yes.
I know.
It's good.
I don't want to even talk until I get a coffee in me. It's like breakfast.
Yes. Well, and another thing that I know Bev does is she always checks with Joe before she schedules an appointment with anybody. And I think that's a good thing to do also. You're giving preference to your husband, checking with him.
I know in the past it hasn't always been that easy. It's more like resentful, like I got to do it, but it's like, you know.
Yeah.
So no, I am doing it more joyfully.
Yeah.
And I have to do what others want to do, even though I prefer less activity. Mm-hmm. You know, when people come over, you know, like people, we have a lot of company. I'm like, I hope they don't want to do anything because I've had enough of Big Cat Habitat, you know. But
yeah.
But just, you know, it's, you know, I want to bless others. It's not about me.
Sure.
And then you get blessed in the...
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's never like I've done anything and thought, oh, see, I knew I didn't want to do that. I should. No, it's always, well, I'm glad I did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think of Linda Masella, who said oftentimes that she would wake up early and earlier so she could do her Bible study or her reading, mm-hmm. and wanted to do that before her family got up. Mm-hmm. And she was blessed by that. So I think of that a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I'm struggling to wake up in the morning.
Sacrificial love.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have to do that before my ADD husband gets up. You know, having the door closed does not mean do not enter. Well, check up on me and see if I'm okay.
Well, you know, that's his expression.
And by the way, let me sit down and talk to you all.
Okay. There are some principles that she's delineated. We talked about a couple of them already. Principle number 3, bitterness hinders love. And sometimes we feel hurt. Sometimes we, and this is on page 88.
Page what?
88. In my book. Yeah. I don't know if where it is in your book.
Yes, yes, same.
Okay. Sometimes wives told me, well, I'm not bitter. I'm just hurt. I feel resentful. Well, those are signs of bitterness. So when we think about this, is I'm looking at question 4. What is one unbiblical belief about love and how to correct it? And there are 9 common signs of bitterness in that section. What is one maybe that you know of or that you've experienced or you see in other people?
So are you on 5?
I'm on 4.
4. But she kind of skipped over 5.
Too. Okay.
So 4 is about love. Your feet, love. Love is romance and unbiblical.
Yeah.
Love is unconditional.
Question 5. Where?
Are we on principle 3?
Pardon?
Yes.
Are we on principle 3?
Principle 3. Common signs of bitterness.
So that would be 5.
Okay, so we skipped over 4. Now we're
on question 4. Your question 4 in the book, right? You said 3 unbiblical beliefs about love?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. What is one unbiblical belief that and how to correct it?
That love is unconditional. Accepts even sinful behavior without trying to restore the sinner, or ignores sinful behavior. The focus is not on what God wants us to do.
Because sometimes it's just easier to ignore it,
yeah,
rather than confront it.
Or I think of terms, well, they talk about it in business, like you have a yes man, somebody who's always going to say yes to whatever it is, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And it's just easier. Just say yes to them, and mm-hmm. rather than, I mean, because to hold somebody accountable is not easy. So, you know, if their behavior's sinful, we're called to hold each other accountable. But, you know, sometimes it's easier to just either overlook or just say yes, okay. But that's not real love.
Mm-hmm. And I think the world looks at that unconditional love as accepting everything and anything.
Yes, yep. You know, absolutely.
The whole concept, though. Tough love or biblical confrontation,
yeah.
just
yeah.
goes out yeah. the window.
Or you do you, and everybody has to accept it. Okay.
You know, I was reading this, I was thinking, but love is unconditional.
God's love.
Exactly.
Yes. Right.
The love we're supposed to have is unconditional, but it includes confronting sin.
Right.
The worldly idea of love is unconditional.
Medicine.
Absolutely right.
That goes right back to the worldly idea of love.
Mm-hmm.
Love doesn't mean everything you do is
right.
okay.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
means that I'm going to continue to love
right.
you and accept you, but I'm also going to correct, guide, mm-hmm. reprove. That's what the scriptures say.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So 1 Corinthians 13:6, love rejoices in the truth. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. and we're to speak the truth in love. Mm-hmm. So when there is something to be confronted, and for me, that's the hardest thing I
can do. Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
But I'm always thankful because, you know, I like my sister's very good at, well, we do it for each other, hold each other accountable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, initially you might be like, whoa. And then after you think about it and pray about it, you're like, thank you for pointing that out. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because a lot of times somebody else can see something you haven't seen yet.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Lisa, to what you're saying, the world's thinking, we don't want to be conformed to this world, but we want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Mm-hmm. And that, like, hits me right between the eyes. So, so when we get to the point when we've all done this, had a little gossip or slander, or feel ungrateful, or we're complaining, or we're looking at motives, we're thinking self-centered thoughts, we feel really sad, somebody says something that makes you feel really sad, your husband says something to you, it makes you feel really sad, you feel vengeful, you're thinking about, mulling over in your mind all those things that that person said to you, or the way they looked at you, you brood about it. You lose your joy. Mm-hmm. You have a critical and judgmental attitude. Those are things that can be the focus of bitterness.
Yes.
And maybe we need to think about how we can reframe these questions as we are working with younger women or walking alongside of younger women. How do we, maybe we can identify it and they can't see it in their own lives. Or if you identify it in me, you know, confront me or whomever.
It's interesting, Deb and I have been working through the self-confrontation. We're going to get back to it. Yeah. And I just remember this one section where it talked about people who feel sorry for themselves. And you would think that it's something, you know, to have compassion on them. But when you actually think about the root of it, it's pride and self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all about me. Oh, poor me, you know. And that was a new, like, perspective for me. I mean, not that I don't go down that path. That's not one of the things that, you know, I have had happen. But that was a definite, like, revelation that, oh, yeah, it actually comes back to I'm thinking all about me, you know. So when it talked about, like, loss of joy and excessive sorrow, that's where I was thinking, well, then you're really being self-centered.
Yeah. Well, and that self-focus, self-centeredness.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I once heard someone say pride is either thinking too highly of yourself or thinking too lowly of yourself. Mm-hmm. You're thinking of yourself.
Right, yeah. Good point. Yeah. Still comes back to pride. Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard that referred to as false humility.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 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 Kind of like that martyrdom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Oh, yeah.
Oh, poor me.
Poor me, that's it. And I think for, if we're going to be working with younger moms, maybe you want to think about using this diagram with the guilt. How much guilt is your guilt? How much guilt is your husband's guilt? Mm-hmm. And then we want to get to the point where we can turn that around and say, you know, most of that is my guilt, and I need to refocus myself.
Mm-hmm. Take 100% responsibility over your guilt.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just from my own personal experience, carrying around guilt is very costly. It's very for your emotions, for your people around you, for your health, for your time, and it's certainly not worth it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit brings that up so that way you can say, what's going on? How would I deal with it? So I appreciate when I have those guilt feelings because then I know that something is wrong.
And it's the Holy Spirit who's trying to bring it to my attention. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I pray about it and I start to focus, why do I feel guilty? What's going on? What do I need to do? Mm-hmm. So I pray that's where you have conviction. You know, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's key. Really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do I need to do?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes guilt is unbelief. And Mark has said unbelief is sin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so we really need to,
that was
like
greatest,
you say, examine your heart.
I think that was the greatest sin Jesus talked about with unbelief. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so some of these, I'm kind of going back and forth a little bit.
Can I make a comment?
Absolutely.
The slander one, the gossip and slander, that has always been tremendously heavy on my heart forever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether young wives or older wives, those who have been married for a long time. And it just hurts my heart when I hear wives just puts their husband down, or mm-hmm. they're so negative about their husbands. And I see so much of that, and it's like, you know, and I've always got into the habit of never doing that. That's how come you never hear me even say anything negative about my children. You know, that's my business, and it's between me and God, and between them and God. So I never talk about my children, you know, any of their faults or anything like that. And I do that the same way with Peter. But it's, you'll see a lot of it also in those failing marriages or people who are bitter about their marriage. But we need to focus. I mean, yesterday when we met last night, mm-hmm. and for those of you who were there, it was just amazing to see all these young mothers there. And I kept looking at them and everything, and I'm saying, I need to remember what it was for me to be that age, that young, and being married, and all the stupid stuff that I did. You know? And I need to focus is that, what do I need to do in order to reach these young ladies? And because they're not going to, a lot of them will not say anything, just like we did. A lot of us did not say very much either. And how are we going to bring that up to them? Because they're suffering, but a lot of them won't say very much of anything. And we need to kind of remember what it was to be that young, and what we did, and what our hearts did, and what our husbands did, and you know, all these. It's like when we read this here, it's like, here's a manual here. Oh, even this with along with the Bible, you know. And but it hurts my heart when I hear women talk badly about their husbands, and you know, he's lazy or he's this. Also, comparison. That one gets my heart. I mean, even bothers Peter. When a woman says, oh, my husband can't even nail something on the wall, you know? And they say it right in front of their husbands and Peter, and they're actually comparing their husband to Pete, and he feels like, you know, horrible type of thing, you know? So, you know, when we're going to comparing our husbands to others and what they do, I mean, we really need to focus more on being positive in our saying. You know, saying, well, how will we turn that around? Obviously with prayer. But what does that look like? I'm a person that said, if you're going to do something, what does it look like? What is he going to do? And one of the things that we need to do is that we need to say good things to our husband verbally, you know, and just all the positive stuff, so that this way it comes into your heart and your heart, and then your actions and your words that come out is what you have said to your husband. So it's like, you know, that's a great job. I mean, this morning he got up and I said to him, he wants to invite, you know, John and Ginger and whatever. I said to him, it's too hot now. We should have done that when it was cooler and everything. You know, our house is small. We can't sit in the line. And I'm like, you know, going, I said, well, I've got to wait till it's cooler again and everything, you know. And I said, well, how many people are we talking about? We're talking about Marlena because she's part of the whole thing. And the two kids. And then we're talking about Ginger and John and Abby. And we're talking about, well, we're going to fit them. Blah, blah, blah. We've got to wait till the fall. So he goes and he says, well, the three kids can sit in the stool, and all six of us, the adults, can sit at that table there.
And I said, you know what, Pete? That's a great thinking idea. Thanks, you know? And it was interesting because I remember saying, it's just cool, Myrna, chill. You know, these men, they have good thoughts, good ideas. You know?
That's right.
You don't know it all. You know, and it felt good, and I could see the smile on his face that when I made that compliment to him, you know? So we
well,
need
we need to.
To
brag on our husbands
yes.
all the time.
Be careful though, with that, too. We have to be very careful that when we're bragging, we're not
elevating them higher.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we want our boast to be in the Lord.
Yeah, in the Lord. Yeah.
But you want to, for instance, I remember talking to my in-laws about something good that my husband did. And I think that's something that wives can do to elevate their husbands in their parents' eyes. Do you know what Carl did to help me do this? And I would say that to my in-laws. Or you could say that to your children.
His
do
children,
you know
yes.
what your
His
dad
children,
did to
yes.
help me? Or, you know, whatever. And also, whenever you say a negative comment about your spouse, that lowers the image of him in other people's eyes.
Right, yeah.
You are, and I know there's a verse in here, and I don't have it written down, where you are denying your husband. If I can remember where it is, I'll let you know. But you're it's just not a good thing.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. It's not good to speak of your husband in a negative way, because then that lowers other people's opinion of him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because even I remember. Growing up, you always, at least I did, you take your parents for granted. They're just always there. And you can use and abuse them and not appreciate them. They're always going to be there. You know, so like you put your friends above them and everything else. Mm-hmm. But between this lesson and remembering my own past, like I had Kate, she and I were going out to dinner because something happened with her computer where her dad had done something and it wiped out all this stuff that she had done, and she was so upset about it, and she's like, I'm so mad at him, blah, blah, blah. And I like brought it back to, well, you don't think he did that intentionally, like to hurt you. He was trying to help, and you know he loves you, and so it kind of it calmed her down and it gave her something to think about. And I mean, we can do, like I said, I have regrets of what I did with my parents, you know, especially my mom, and she was always there, and yet I just, you know, thankfully God, when I became a Christian, he like restored that relationship and made it, he just blessed it. But it's funny how you can remember in your own experience and just use that. Plus, again, all this study that we're doing, it helps in so many relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I don't have a husband, but I can use it with all the kids, and you know, even I told Jim how much I respect him. He gives me, I go to him for like financial advice and stuff. I don't have a husband, so he's, you know, and he's more than willing. And I said, I just respect you so much, like for how you run your business. And I said, I don't think I've ever told you this before, but you know, the whole family has a stake in that business, and it's, you know, supported them for, I don't know, however long they've been married, 30 plus years. And, you know, I said, I really respect you for that. And so I guess the point I was trying to make is it goes beyond husband and wife,
mm-hmm.
and just
mm-hmm.
in all relationships
sure,
that we
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely.
You know, holding, giving respect to people that, you know, they're image bearers of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that right now, in our culture, it is very anti-man.
Oh, yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
You can't be putting woman up so high and keep
well, what is
man
a woman?
There, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that, too. Yeah.
What is a woman?
Whatever they choose to say. So it's definitely, you know, anti-man.
Oh, for sure.
And
especially white male.
Yeah. It is. It's just so easy to repeat some of the things you've heard. Especially, I think, for the younger women. Who probably spend more time on social media than I do. I hate
mm-hmm.
social media. But you hear so much. If you hear so much, you read so much, it tends to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the golden rule is just so clear here. You say those things about your husband to be funny or whatever, to be complaining, but how would you feel if he was saying the same kind of things about you? She would be hurt. I would be hurt.
Yeah.
And I look back, and there were times that I would say things to be funny about Larry. It's like, no. You know, if I could go back and change it, I would.
Yeah.
But you can't. Once you've said it, it's out there. If he said those things about me to other people, I would be so hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Goes back to the power of the tongue, too.
It does.
Yes.
And it also gives us remembrance for future conversations.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you are thinking, you know, when you hear that, you kind of wince. You know, and that's good that we do that, because then that can trigger a conversation.
Yep.
With somebody else.
You mean in front of company?
Well,
a lot of it is not
like,
verbal too.
Did he just embarrass me?
Right.
But I won't say anything. I will keep my mouth shut.
Oh yeah.
And then wait until God wants me to deal with that. Mm. And then later on, he says, "Hey, you know, you said that, and I was hurt, and I was embarrassed. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it."
Yeah.
That's how it came out.
Yes. Yeah,
my son actually said to me, he noticed a conversation between a husband and a newly married husband and wife, and how the husband was speaking, and the husband and the wife was sitting there and making like these facial expressions. About, oh, how dumb is that? You know what I mean? Like just everything he was saying. Oh my gosh, it's so embarrassing. How dumb. You know, and the first thing my son said to me is, "Are they compatible? Do they get compatible? Do they get along?" Because it just like she was like I wasn't there, but my son, who was not married, was noticing how the wife was degrading the husband
just
body language.
Yeah.
Women do that. I know. We do that a lot. Like.
Yes.
You have to say that dumb, you know, especially among others, right? The dumb, anyway.
Well, it has to go back to what's in your heart and what's in your mind. And worldly people have worldly things in their mind. We want to be set apart. We want to be basing what we say and know and do on what we know from Scripture. And my heart just kind of goes out to that woman, because she doesn't have any idea of how she is putting her husband down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's destroying the relationship
little
by little.
Yeah, and when we see that amongst the women that we're encountering, we need to speak up. And, you know, like I said for myself, speaking the truth in love for me is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's because my pride is so... up there,
oh,
but
all of us. Wow.
Yeah.
Ironing, sharpening iron. That hurts.
Yeah.
I can imagine when you bring iron together and there's sparks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It can hurt. But like Sue said, you may share and then all of a sudden and then the Holy Spirit works. Because that's the key. We're just instruments. It's the Holy Spirit working.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that God has his eternal plan, and we are being used in that plan. And everything that he has planned out is for his glory and for our good.
Yeah.
Amen.
So Romans 8:28 on that one.
What a privilege to be used.
Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.
When
so,
I was in high school, there were these girls who watched soap operas all the time, and they would sit there saying, "Oh, that's how I want my husband," but he's just acting.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes when I listen to young girls talk about their husband, it's like they're trying to program something they saw on TV their husband. And they don't realize it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm cracking up laughing because I like watching Hallmark movie type of thing.
Mm.
And you know, and they will have a scene where the guy goes out and does this little picnic thing with all the candles and a beautiful table and Peter loves watching the movies with me, and I'm sitting there going, "Is he getting the message?" Completely oblivious, doesn't make any comments, like, "Well, that's nice," nothing. I guess, and I just laugh at myself. Is he getting that? Nah, that's not going to work. 48 years, forget it.
When you get older, he does the dishes.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go.
So other things that please you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
How many men actually do that? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's yeah. not really. No.
Well, it's not reality as well.
That's Hollywood. Hollywood. That's right. Hollywood.
That's right.
But I love that. I just sit there and laugh.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the next section, next chapter, or next half of the questions. It's more focused on bitterness, and one of the things I thought about was how can we recognize bitterness? How can a woman recognize bitterness?
In herself?
In herself, in other people.
Well, they gave us 9 signs.
So practical.
Well, God tells us, examine yourself, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's a part of it. We have to be critical of our own feelings and emotions and reactions. And, you know, I am thankful, like Myrna was talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm always thankful that it seems like it's quicker and quicker. If I step over that line and I do something, right away the conviction comes. Uh-huh. I'm like, whoa. And I'm thankful for that. Like I said, because it's happening quicker and quicker. I think the more you're in the Word, because the Word just
Definitely.
Is that sword yes. that, you know.
Yeah. I think it's what you dwell on. What are your thoughts yeah. dwelling on? Mm-hmm. And where does it need to change? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think of, is it Philippians? For think on these things,
yes.
whatever is lovely, whatever is mm-hmm. true, and that really
helps you to refocus
yeah,
your
exactly,
thoughts
on, exactly.
on what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, well then, how does bitterness begin to grow?
Unforgiveness, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Being hurt, resentful. Yeah. I like where she says to keep a log of your thoughts. You're hurt, resentful, write them down, and then think of a good passage, you know, to go over that.
Counteract.
Yes.
Counteract.
Have it then be tenderhearted, forgiving.
And she's so practical. Then destroy your list so that no one else can ever.
Yeah.
Does this mean I have to go find all my journals? No, I'm not kidding. I keep thinking about doing that because you journal a lot.
Would you ever want your children to
die? Yes, I think about that. I said, oh my goodness, I better find those journals and at least rip up some of those pages.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I've been saying that for the last 15, 20 years.
I mean, there's two things that we always say to the kids, to each other. One, things like that. If you write it down, it's evident. Do you want somebody else to see that?
Mm. Yeah.
What would they?
It
and the other
harmful.
Thing is, yeah. never leave anything unsaid.
Mm. Yeah. Right.
You talk, where does bitterness come from? It starts in your mind. It's what you're thinking on, as Kathy said. It's what you dwell on. When mm-hmm. you let that unforgiveness or that minor hurt or that little tweak to your pride grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you put it off. I'm not going to talk to this person about it. I'm not going to, you know, ask their forgiveness for my part in this. That's when it becomes bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And it just grows and grows.
Yeah.
It does grow. And when you have a bitter heart, you will have
nothing
bitter fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
And like you said, Lisa, if it goes unchecked, it's mm-hmm. like a weed.
Mm.
That grows into the ground, and all those roots
mm-hmm.
spread out.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that you take into account what has gone wrong when you keep that list, the deeper and more widespread those roots go.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, it's hard work to work on getting
that
through that.
I counsel people on is that bitterness does not only affect you. It will destroy your life. It will destroy, you know, your relationships immediately. But it affects everyone around
mm-hmm.
you because
mm-hmm.
of the fruit.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, what are you evidencing to other people when you've become that bitter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to ask, you said something about unspoken. Because I find sometimes, at least in my experience, like I might have hurt feelings. Somebody said something or did something or whatever. I usually have to go and think about it and pray about it first, because mm-hmm. is it my perception mm-hmm. where I don't need to talk right. to that person because it's really all me, mm-hmm. you know? Right. And yeah. I have found that where I go back and I'm like, well, I know this person and I know they wouldn't mm-hmm. purposefully hurt me. And it's just the way I'm receiving it. Mm-hmm. So it's maybe I'll take it as I speak to God about
exactly.
it, you know, that it's,
or it may
I don't just harbor
so
it.
Subtle that you need to go back to that person and say, when you said that, this is how mm-hmm. I took it.
Yeah,
can
yeah.
you clarify that for yeah. me? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, did yeah. I miss something
yeah.
in our communication?
That I've done if it doesn't, like I pray about it and it does, it
and
keeps
still
coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah. But if I pray about it and I'm like, okay, that was right
all
here.
Me.
Done. yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Get
that's
over yourself kind of bathroom
story.
The sun go down on our anger.
Yeah.
So a lot of times if I've had issues or whatever, pray at night, and I'll be like, if the Lord brings that to mind, or mm-hmm. I'll be like, okay, Lord, I will take care of this at my earliest convenience, mm-hmm. you know, if there's something I have to do, because that's where it really says not to let it take
right.
a root, because,
right. right.
you
yeah.
know, Satan
right.
is a roaring lion,
right.
you know, seeking whom he may devour. I really do am happy, and I have a lot of praise, because I know even when I first started coming here, I was very complaining, you know, you come from have some bad church experiences, whatever, and I didn't really understand the whole sovereignty of God, so it was like I didn't understand it. It was like, well, you know, if I did this differently or whatever, but I think I'm happy that I see some improvement, mm-hmm. because, well, I think I might have even read it here, but I was real big on if I was mad, I just didn't speak to somebody, or, mm-hmm. you know, if I was mad at Jack, I'd be, you know, give him a cold shoulder. I mean, it's really joyful to have a godly husband and both be working toward the same things, mm. because, mm-hmm. you know, it just makes everything so much easier. You know, it's God's way is the best way.
Yeah. So instead of fertilizing our bitterness by looking
right.
at those 9 characteristics of brooding and
yeah.
vengefulness, you are putting weed killer on that by having
it's almost
a
like
joyful
it's no
heart.
Issue because
right.
if I don't
yeah.
do, if I don't respond badly, because like you said, they don't mean, if they love you and I don't have any doubt
right.
that he loves me, that he wouldn't do that on purpose. He's just
uh-huh.
not that kind of a guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, even I don't want anybody to have a bad feeling about him eating breakfast early either, because I know that's not a problem. It's not an issue.
Yeah.
You
right.
know.
Yeah.
But that was just an example of how
mm-hmm. sometimes men are just clueless, is what they're saying.
True.
So.
Yeah.
But I mean, how but I mean, I don't
clueless.
Know. Like, how hard is that? I mean, that's what makes him happy to have his. He
right.
likes his food. He likes to know what's for dinner that night.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to, you know, plan ahead so I
yeah.
can tell him, because he's happy when I tell him, you know, that
yeah.
sort of thing. Where when you're selfish, it's like, you know, do it yourself. you know,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
why
yeah.
are you asking me?
The good word
you
know. Is,
what?
Excuse me?
No, I know, you know, that's one of those things where that's what makes him happy, and I want to
yeah.
make him happy,
yes.
you know?
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting, Lisa, when you said that, when I was teaching, I would come home, and I find myself talking to my husband
like
I do to my students. you know, excuse me, can you explain that again? You know, like, I don't think you meant to say that, right? Can you repeat that? And a couple of times he says, I'm not your student.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. This past week, it's been really hot, and playing pickleball, we had like 3 people who, not heat exhaustion, but pretty close, and then one guy who we had to take him in the clubhouse to get him in the air conditioning because he was so bad. Well, he comes back like a day or two later to play again, and one of the women says to him, you know, you really shouldn't, and he goes, you're not my mother.
Oh.
And we were like, okay, dude, you do what you want, even though we went and got your wife so she could drive you home because you couldn't even drive. You know, you couldn't ride your bike back home.
Yeah. Pride.
Yeah.
So we have to also consider, for those of us who are in our husbands are retiring, and us, as we retire, we kind of bring our world
our outside world into that situation. And they tend to, we tend to focus more because now we're working here, we have all this time. And many times we just bring our outside world that we have, whether you're corporate, whether you're a lawyer, a dyer, you know, doctor, lawyer, intern, chief, you know, you bring it home. And now you're retired and you have to kind of like let it go, slowly let it go. And we have to explain to our spouses, you know, you're not the lawyer anymore, you're not the doctor anymore, you're not... You know, you're not the mechanic anymore. You're not the whatever it is in the job. You know, and it's a whole different world that you have to kind of like change and decompress and live in a different type of world now with your spouse because now you're retired, you know.
And the key is, what do you replace that with? Do Bible study together? Do you pray together? Do you attend things that are wholesome?
You know, Lisa, one of the things that Pete and I did as a young couple, we always said that we come first in the marriage. And we always said that the day that our children leave, I don't want to turn around and say, who are you?
Exactly.
And that has always been our mantra, And I'm so glad that we did that because our relationship has never changed after our children left, you know.
Well, that's the best gift you can give your children too, right? Is to see that relationship that you put each other first.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. And I
way off. Sorry.
Well, no, because you had talked about put off and put on.
Mm-hmm. That's the key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just first want to ask, how do you repent from your bitterness? And then we'll go on to the put off, put on. How do you repent?
Confess to God.
Mm-hmm. Ask God's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. She said confess to God.
And who else?
Give your husband.
And your husband.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about the put off, put on then. And that we are going to... I don't know. My papers are all mixed up.
Is it question five? I'm in
the next section. I'm on question four on part two of lesson.
Page 36.
No better feelings begin.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Explain.
Page 36, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. 36, yeah.
When will bitter feelings begin to improve? Explain. And then maybe you can provide a scripture. And we don't have to go through all of these, but somebody just speak out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tag on to, because Diana's the one who said about the golden rules, treat others as you would like to be treated, Matthew 7:12.
Okay. And really, I love the verse that the kids memorized in VBS, Luke 5:31, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Mm-hmm. So when you're, treat the person as you want to be treated. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The one, your bitter feelings will improve as you clear your conscience, mm-hmm. Matthew 5:41. Whosoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him too. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what did she call it? Like the second mile
investment.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, favorite dish to prepare or
just doing that extra.
Yeah, going the extra mile.
Mm-hmm. And the overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21.
Mm-hmm. Returning good for evil.
Yep.
You know that whole concept is just. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think Ephesians 4, is that the one that I asked you to read, Diana?
Yes. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what kinds of thoughts then are we to have?
Kind.
Tender-hearted,
forgiven.
So how would you explain this to a younger woman?
I don't know, one of the things first comes to my mind is, how much has God forgiven me?
Uh-huh.
And how could I not forgive someone else?
I think that we need to think about how we're going to talk to younger women about some of these things. We maybe still are struggling with these things ourselves, so we need to kind of resolve in our own minds, how do I work through this, and then how am I going to explain that to a younger woman, and maybe, like we had talked about, making a little journal for yourself, for your eyes only journal.
And then burn it.
Well, you know, Lisa, what you had said about, do you want somebody else to read this, kind of like...
Because if you don't deal with it in your life, someone else will.
Yeah.
Could you not say something like, well, when I have all these bitter, resentful, you know, feelings, I cannot see God through all that bad stuff, you know? So we need to get rid of all those feelings so that God can shine through us.
Yes.
And always taking it back to biblical teaching.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You need to identify what that feeling is. Okay, I had this thought. It's pride. What does the Bible say about pride? And go look it up. I had this thought. That's unforgiveness. What does the Bible say about unforgiveness? But always to bring it back to that teaching.
Kind of rethinking or regurgitating all of those thoughts. Taking every thought captive.
Yes.
To the obedience of Christ.
Praying. Just pray it up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Water.
We have to establish first a relationship with the young women, okay? And we need to truly understand where their mind is going. Because what happens is that if we go and say something either quickly or say something at the moment, whatever, they can completely turn you off because that is not what they meant. Mm. And in order for us to really know how to speak to these women, we need to know what their thought pattern is and how they think and what they perceive and everything like that, because what we might think is what they're thinking, whatever, is nothing about what they are. And then whatever comes out of our mouth, whether it be the most fantastic scripture or whatever, their mind is already saying, they close it right off. They don't even hear you.
Right.
So we need to establish a relationship to see how they think. Mm-hmm. Because we will go with our hearts and we will try to say the best thing that will come out of our mouth. And that's exactly what they're not even there. And they might even take it as an insult, or she thinks she knows better, or whatever goes through
their
mind.
She's not listening to me.
She's not right. Listening. Yeah, very good, hon. She's not listening to me. That's not what I meant, you know. But I think you're right.
We need to walk alongside of these young moms and not just say hi. Yeah. Oh, did you know you said that in a funny way? That is very insulting. No, you can't do that. You have to get to know somebody before. Right. You can establish and have that privilege to speak into their lives.
Well, that's even when sharing the gospel, it's the same thing. Because, like, I have unsaved family members. You have to have that relationship first before they'll ever be receptive to anything you're saying.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
On which part?
Well, all of you guys are, you know, I totally understand all that. But sometimes, in my experience of being with younger gals, I mean, there was a gal I didn't even know saying, I mean, she texted me. I knew her just like at the other end of Bible study, saying, can we get together? And I said, sure, where? And we met in a parking lot during Kids for Truth. And she, what happens with these young gals is they will unload. I don't think there's ever really been a time in my life where I mean, yeah, we do have to be careful. Ooh, you just said that about your husband. No, and you're right. In term, there is a right. Okay, let me back up. Because my heart was beating during that. Lord, what do you want me to say? In the incident with the parking lot, she unloaded. What I wanted to emphasize here is you've got to know the scripture. You've got to know it.
For sure.
Because the Holy Spirit brings it up.
Yep.
She's lambasting her husband, and I'm like, Lord, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. And sometimes she may want, hey, I need to take some notes. So then it's, okay, Matthew 7:5. You need to take the log out of your own eye before you can see clearly. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. It's just like Lisa said, it's your Bible needs to be on your lap or in your mind. Or on your phone, you know, and say, okay, let's turn to. So there's those instances. Then there's the instances where that little gal looks lonely. Now, last night, some of you went to that thing. Mm-hmm. You saw some quiet gals. Reach out one-on-one. I am such a one-on-one. If I see a gal in the hallway and she's looking like she's, you know, struggling with her kids or whatever, I'm texting her that week. Hey, can we get together for coffee? Can I come to your house?
Because it's like a cry for help.
It truly is. When they're bashing
their husbands, you know, that was one thing I wanted to say was, you don't know what's going on with their life, and maybe that's a big cry for help.
And you need to come alongside them.
So, Myrna, I don't disagree with your saying that. It's situational. Because you will come to those moments that you have to be ready.
Right, but what I'm
just saying is that when you're just getting to kind of know somebody, whatever, and that person is not spilling out their guts where you have to kind of say something that you need to be ready with scripture.
But I've had those too where, guess what? You ask questions like crazy.
That's where you get to know that you don't assume.
Because I know what you're saying, Myrna, in terms of you don't want to assume and then, oh, I saw you look funny over there, and then you start spewing a scripture. No. It's ask questions. It's showing care and love by getting, can I come to your house? Can I hold your baby? Oh, they're going to go nuts. Lisa Borgstrom, she said, if only a gal would come and hold Brooks, which I did, you know, I was holding Brooks, if they would come over so I can organize my pantry. And then, what do you do when you're talking to, what us women are multitasking? You start asking questions. How are you doing? No, how are you really doing? Oh, I'm fine. No, you're not.
I know you're not.
It's just the way God made me that I'm just, and I, as I get older, I'm, as you know, Bobby, I'm forceful. Sit there. But so it's getting into their lives, Myrna. You're right. You have to get into their lives, but we also just have to be careful that I don't know where I'm going now. That it is God, that it is the scripture.
Not in flesh. Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, whenever, I mean, in Utah, there was a gal, hey, let's go to Applebee's, sure, go to Applebee's. I'm going to divorce my husband at our church. And I'm like, okay, God, give me wisdom. You just start praying because you're going to get that type of stuff too. Yeah. And it's like, I was amazed because Pastor Mark had talked about it, that if you have the scripture memorized and, you know, you're praying, the Holy Spirit starts bringing it up. Not for me, but to minister to them, our brothers and sisters. Just whoosh. Scripture just came out of my mouth. And it was like, she backed up. And I said, would you be willing to meet with Joe and I? And she said, yeah. And I'm like, okay. So yeah, that's a drastic one. What we want in our church is before it gets there. We want to say, can I come to your house? Can I hold your baby? I am so with Titus too. Go ahead.
But to Myrna's point,
I hope I didn't offend anyone.
No, that's okay.
No,
I was just going to say that if again, I'm just going to speak from my family experience, and you know, they don't, like my sister up north, unless I had that relationship, she didn't want to hear anything from me. I mean, way back at, I used to babysit, I got 16 nieces and nephews up there, and I used to babysit for all their kids. And she shut me down one time. We were family dinner having a conversation, and she's talking about such and such with the kids. And I said, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And she looks at me and she goes, you have no opinion in this. You have no children.
Oh, please.
And I said, except that I babysit every single one of yours, so I think I can say something on it.
Well, I think what's hard is she's an unbeliever.
Yes, and but that's, so, that's yes. The point is, believer or unbeliever, I think what Myrna's trying to say is the receptivity has a lot to do with the relationship.
but sometimes not, because that gal texted me. I didn't know her from Adam.
Right.
We meet,
but you're talking like two different.
Right, but it's going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
is. Yeah. So just be sensitive to that.
Well, and be ready always with Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
your point.
That's just the thing.
You're
I
almost,
know.
It's, well, you're almost never going to be put in that situation if you don't start building relationships. I mean, I'm
yep.
thinking, I haven't done anything in a few weeks because I've been sick, but with I have the ladies over, the young moms over to the community pool
yes.
and whatnot. And it's like, you have to do something first, because before I did that, and even I'm not even at that point now where they're going to confide anything. I don't think, you know, it's more just come and have fun and, you know, try, you know, small talk and getting to know each other. And I'm hoping that it's building relationships so that, you know, that will happen eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Cause
well,
I
think you're card making too.
Yes.
When you have that specialty thing, if they can come to your home. But one-on-one.
And even, yeah.
Go
even
into their home. And say, can I come hold your baby?
But I mean, before I did the pool thing,
yeah.
I can't imagine myself saying to some of those moms, can I come over and hold your baby? They
yeah.
don't know me.
No.
You know,
yeah.
so I'm building
yeah.
relationships.
But
now.
I guess, but see, if you're involved in your
yes.
church,
yes.
you know, I think that, I don't
but
know.
But see, they know you.
I
yeah.
know.
See,
well, that's how they know me, though.
But you have a few
I'm
more
dead.
Years on
you.
Well, and that would be an encouragement for all of you to get involved in doing nursery. You get
yes.
to meet the parents. The moms in the nursery.
Didn't they do a movie about that? Meet the Parents.
Hopefully, it won't be that way.
No.
What's that?
The movie
I don't know.
Meet the Parents.
So that you can establish at least they recognize your face. You know?
Anything. I mean, because I do better one-on-one.
Amen.
But I mean, if
That's
we're
me.
Doing, you know, some kind of fellowship. I mean, to just like you said, see a mom who's just. Struggling with the kids, or it's like making that effort. I pray that the Lord would bring people in so that I'm not like, you know, I don't know, like just bashing heads or whatever, but that the Lord would just lead me to the ones I'm supposed to be
absolutely.
Doing, you know, because
it's totally bathing it in prayer.
Yeah.
It really is. I know I'm being very forceful, but it's bathing it in prayer. Lord, put that gal on my heart
and
I should reach out
with the
to.
Gospel. I mean, what verse comes to mind is in season and out, when it's convenient, when it's not. So to basically say, oh, I'm not going to say anything about the gospel or, you know, tell about Jesus unless, you know, I mean, we're supposed to always be ready. We're supposed
yeah.
to always be ready with that. And with the Holy Spirit's promise, we will, you know.
Yep. Pray for opportunities.
It's hard to know what's flesh and what's, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I just know there's a ton of gals out there in our church, and being in nursery, you get to know their kids.
Yeah.
Being in Bible study, they want us so bad. I mean, that's the thing. They want it. And it's our mandate, teach the younger women
yeah.
to love their husbands and their children. So I just am... I'm like the rah rah.
Yeah, well,
you got to put a lid on me, though.
Well, we need that encouragement because it's so easy for us to sit back and
basically society says, well, you guys are retired now; it's time to rest. And
right,
right.
That's a lie.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you two are saying the same thing. I think it's just different situations.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have to laugh because at a Christmas party,
that's what happens when I go away for 2 months from you
yeah.
guys.
Gotta get caught up.
Built up there.
At a Christmas party at the Racks a couple years ago, Cheryl Caldwell had just had, what's her one son's name?
Teddy.
Nope, not Teddy.
Jameson.
And she came in and wanted to mingle, and I was like, oh, give me the baby. I'll hold the baby. And I didn't know her all that well, but I was just like, you know, I have all these nieces and nephews on. And I had him pretty much the whole time. He fell asleep, and she was able to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that kicked off a relationship
yeah.
for
mm-hmm.
us. And here last night, we're at the restaurant, and she comes over to me, and she's like, here.
Oh.
Just hands off the baby. And other people are looking at her, and she goes, oh, no. She said she took care of Jameson. She put him right to sleep. And, you know, so
sweet.
That way I can eat my dinner. I'm like, go for it.
Oh, that's funny.
Caroline.
Here. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even, yeah, it was just like, okay,
and for those of you who don't know what the Thursday night thing is, Kayeen has organized a group to go to Fuji Steakhouse Sushi once a month, either on a Monday night or a Thursday night. And she first started by inviting women, but she has said, if you know somebody who would like to come, she wants to know the number of people that come.
Right.
Because what she does, she sets up a table leader to kind of help the group gel together, maybe ask questions.
Like a facilitator.
A facilitator, yeah. Right. And so everybody is seated at a different table with about four or five people. And so then you get to know other women that you don't know, and they don't know you. And then after you eat, then you walk down in that same plaza to the yogurt shop, where you get to make your own, however, yogurt sundae or whatever. And then somebody gives their testimony. You bring your lawn chair, and we all sit out in front of the restaurant, and we hear a testimony. Last night, Sue had the privilege of giving her testimony. So that is something that, don't feel like you need an invitation to come. We would want you to come. And
yeah, she just needs the number.
She just needs to know.
To tell the restaurant, too.
Right.
Yeah, but not for the yogurt place if you want to show up. Say.
No, yogurt is fine.
Yeah. So
they'll take anyway.
It's a nice way to get to know people and have a start to developing these relationships. And it was Kayeen who organized that.
Yes.
And she's a younger mom who wanted to get to know other women and older moms. So we would invite you. You can take my invitation to come. Next time it might be on, it wasn't on a Monday night this week because 4th of July was on Monday.
Yeah, August is going to be Monday.
August 1st.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so now you have the date. Put it on your calendar. Just let Kayeen know that you would like to come. If you think the title of the restaurant is intimidating, they have a lot of other things you could eat that's not sushi. It could be chicken teriyaki and other things, other hors d'oeuvres, crab rangoon if you like that, and different things, soups. So the Fuji restaurant is located on 41
West Villages.
In Welland Park, West
right
Villages.
Before he turned to go into Welland Park.
Right.
There was about 30 people there last time I went.
Wow.
Good turnout last night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Good. And it's a really edifying time, so I encourage you to come and participate.
And God stopped the rain for us.
Yep.
Oh, amen.
Put a big rainbow. Put a big rainbow in the sky. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then it started again as soon as we were done.
Oh. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. I wanted to read this. After the end of question four, now I can't find question four in here, but it was, this is from Nancy Lee DeMoss, Choosing Gratitude. Being mindful of the benefits we have received helps squeeze bitterness and entitlement from our hearts, replacing negative, depressing thoughts with the realization that our loving Father has showered us with good things, and that even the bad things in our lives are benefits intended to make us more like Jesus. So, you know, again, Romans 8:28, all of the things will work together in our lives. So one of the ways to squeeze out that bitterness is being joyful, remembering, having a heart of gratitude. Okay. And I guess this should be interjected before we had Diana read that verse. So anyways. I got all mixed up here, ladies. Sorry.
Well, there was question six was keep a log of your bitter thoughts, which we all agreed was we were burning that.
Okay. Yeah. And then
trust and forgiveness.
All right. And I wanted to say it's important to see your bitterness from God's perspective. And this is on the bottom of page 96. Often wives that she has counseled are bitter. Each one's bitterness may very well be a more wicked sin than what her husband has done, especially if he's repentant and she will not forgive. And she says to the ladies that there's nothing that your husband has done that God cannot forgive and you cannot forgive. So if you're bitter and will not forgive, then you're being wicked. We are to forgive as we've been forgiven. Even the most difficult circumstances can be reconciled. So keeping that in mind, the Corinthians were talking about, or Paul was talking to the Corinthians about such as some of them, or such,
such
were some of you. Mm-hmm. And so we have all of that in our hearts to confess as well. So we don't want to hold that over anybody. One of the things that can happen is that we look at trust and we look at forgiveness, and we think that they maybe are the same thing. But why are they not the same thing? Sometimes a husband may break his trust, and a wife may not forgive that. And sometimes we think it's the same thing. How are they not the same thing?
I said you must forgive first, and then in time, your trust will increase.
Trust is something to be earned. And forgiveness is a command. I mean, that's
that's like a good way to think
like
about
that.
It.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And it's difficult to earn that trust back again once it's been broken. Mm-hmm. I've seen that with my children, that when they committed these acts that were abhorrent, or mm-hmm. abhorrent to me, but that it took a long time to develop that trust again.
And they need to know that to rebuild the relationship. I like you, you know, with the child. You know, they need to know that you still love them and that you do forgive the act, but that it will take time to mm-hmm. rebuild trust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also thought forgiveness deals with a past event. I mean, it has present consequences. Like, you may have to, in a sense, keep forgiving them in yeah. your mind, in your heart. But basically, it deals with a past event. Mm-hmm. But trust deals with the present mm-hmm. and the future. Mm-hmm. It's what's happening now. Am I going to trust them now? Am I going to trust them in the future?
That's a good way to think of it. Okay. Yeah. All right, all right, so that was kind of like question 7. Okay. On that second part,
mm-hmm.
and question 8 then. Okay, the two responses to being hurt. Anybody?
You can be humble or you can be proud.
Mm-hmm.
The proud response would be me focused. The humble response would be God or other focused.
Mm. Okay. And so often when we hear about those pity parties, we know that that is the self focus, and that kind of impacted me because I'm really good at pity parties. So, all right. The principle 5. Did we talk about this? We started to talk about putting off, putting on. And here's my question. Okay, principle 5. The wife is to put on love.
Page 100 in the book.
Yeah. So, loving God and others are the two greatest commandments in Scripture. And we're told in 2 Peter 1:7 that we are to be increasingly in love, and it won't happen automatically. You have to work at it. So as we list those characteristics on page 100 to 104, can you write down some personal examples of putting on love in the Scripture? And not only 104, but going back to 102, 101, putting on love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about we do this? I'll say love is patient, and if anybody has a response to that from a personal experience, how you could have demonstrated that love is patient with your husband or somebody else?
Be a good listener, not interject, and just listen carefully.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
It is.
And I found, I make a suggestion, and I just need to wait and be patient and not try to talk Steve into it. Because eventually he will come around. So just give him the silence so that he can figure it through.
So he can process it.
Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not finish the sentence.
Yeah.
Okay, love is kind.
I put I can express kindness even when I'm upset or irritated about something. I have to be very careful about that.
We all do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, love is not jealous. I can be thankful that Carl goes to play golf. I used to be kind of jealous of the time. Because it's a long time, but I'm thankful that he can go, because then that refreshes him, it gives him pleasure in doing, you know, one of his favorite pastimes, and so I'm happy for him now that he can do that. Mm-hmm. Love does not brag. You don't want to have that excessive pride in yourself. Our boast should be in the Lord. Okay, how about love is not arrogant?
I put don't be full of self-importance. Don't be opinionated and defensive, but listen to your husband. I have too many strong opinions.
Mm-hmm. We all do. Mm-hmm. We think we know it all, right?
Yeah, sometimes we don't.
I know the right way. And he does it different.
I remember a time when we had lived, we were looking for a house. This was in Canada. We were looking for a house, and we had lived in an apartment for about 10 years. I kind of found the dream home, you know. I told my husband, I really like that house, but the person who owned the house didn't want to sell it to us because it was like a private sale. But then we found another house around the corner, but I didn't like that house at all. And I said to my husband, okay. We want to get the house, put actually a thing in the
bid.
Yeah, bid. I remember going to Walmart and buying a little lamb, a stuffed animal. And I went in that room, my room that night, and I cried. Oh my gosh, because I was upset because I didn't want the house. The lamb was just like a comfort to me. It was like, I know. Felt close to God with this little lamby thing. And I cried. I said, oh God, I don't want that house. I don't like that house. But my husband, that's the one. And we actually, they accepted the offer. But then the next day, my husband had a change of heart and went to the original owner and said, I'll offer you this much. And he said, okay. And then the other person, the lady, the house that we got the offer, we even signed and everything. She said, it's okay, we'll let it go.
Oh.
I don't know why. I told that story because, like, it was hard to accept what my husband wanted. I didn't like that house. And I had to be humble. Mm-hmm. And if it had worked out that was the house we got, it would have. But the Lord changed. Yeah, he did. I didn't force my husband to make him Mm-hmm. I didn't put up, I just cried.
You didn't have your temper tantrum.
No,
I didn't act unbecomingly.
No, I just cried my eyes out that I didn't like it. And he didn't really like it either. But he was the one that went on his own to do it. Like, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you didn't seek your own way.
Yeah.
In that also. So it's good. Love is not provoked.
When I repeat again kindly what I said yesterday that was not remembered, just repeat it.
Mm-hmm. It shows self-control.
Mm-hmm. What about the questions that you already know the answers to?
Okay, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. This one can be a hard one because we can very easily make our list of he did this and this and this. So how are we going to counteract that?
I think, again, taking your thoughts captive and praying it up to God. How do you want me to respond? Mm-hmm. I think that's so important.
Yeah. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. About Hebrews 10:24, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We don't want to cause our husbands to sin in any way, but we want to encourage them to be godly and do godly things. Love bears all things. Being committed to him, sacrificing yourself, sacrificing your wishes for your husband's wishes.
Well, and too, I think, you know, we all make mistakes, and just instead of pointing it out, just wait, because eventually then, you know, how much nicer is, oh man, I'm so sorry I did that, you know, rather than, you know, so you kind of
have to weigh your words and wait.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know,
right.
A lot of times it's waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And also, because we don't see the whole picture, and I mean, that whole thing about God being sovereign in it all.
Yeah.
It's like you're the house. Well, the Lord might have been protecting you from something.
Yes.
You know, even though you didn't see it, I mean, just like you said, wait and.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. Men don't like, one thing I learned from my marriage is men don't like to be told what to do.
Men don't like
to be told what to do.
None of us do.
They don't like.
Not just a man thing.
They don't, you know.
We
think we know what's best. We think.
That's because of the fall. Because we're supposed to be the helpmeet.
Right.
But we're trying to
use. We try to rule.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So love believes all things. You want to believe the truth about your love for your husband and his love for you.
Well, that goes back even to our perception of a hurt. Well, but if that person is someone I love, that's not how I should perceive what they're saying or doing, because they wouldn't intentionally hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you believe the best.
Believing the best,
that's
right.
What I really like.
Yeah.
Love hopes all things kind of falls into that category also,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think.
Even the secular world, when it's talking about how we judge each other, says we judge ourselves by our motives, but we judge others by their actions.
Mm-hmm.
We put motives to their actions in our mind, but we judge ourselves by our motives. If something bad happens, but we didn't mean it, we give ourselves an out. But if somebody else does something, we judge them completely by their actions. Mm-hmm. Because we can see it. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
We
see
that. Know their motives.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, I remember, this is before I was PC, before I was a Christian, in the work world, somebody came to me and they were like, oh, so-and-so said such and such, like, about you or whatever. And I said, well, that might bother me if I respected their opinion, but I don't, so.
Very good.
Yeah.
I got that.
Yeah, and that's true.
I like what Spurgeon supposedly said, that don't worry about what other people are saying about you, you're far worse.
Yes. Yes, that's right. You're far worse than anything they think.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
That's
so true, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
so then love endures all things, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, in closing, I want to read this. This is from a lady by the name of Tessa Thompson, and this was in Table Talk magazine. She says, I married a sinner. And so did my husband. Humility in both marriage and motherhood requires right thinking about sin. As a wife, I must acknowledge my sinful tendency to rebel against my husband's leadership, whether through coldness, manipulation, unspoken words, or thoughts. I must remember how persistent my remaining sin is and vigilantly be on the lookout for subtle ways that it is damaging the relationship. I must point out the log in my own eye before I try to remove the speck in my husband's eye. There will be specks. Husbands are imperfect leaders who will make mistakes and fail to serve as they ought. Right thinking about my husband's sin will result in humility that freely forgives, does not hold a grudge, and rejoices in every evidence of the Lord's sanctifying work in him.